The life of Klal Yisrael is the life of the bayis, the Jewish home. It is the home which preserves our sense of self. When we enter the great big outside world, the olam, which holds all sorts of opportunities and promise for great achievement, peruchnius ubegashmius. Well, for all of that opportunity and promise, it is easy to lose ourselves in the hubbub of the outside world, to lose perspective regarding who we are, what we are trying to achieve, what is actually the vision behind everything we're doing. Here's where the bayis, the home, comes into the picture. Preserving that sense of self in the privacy of the home, the sacred sanctum of the home. Self, the relationships which are nearest and dearest to me. Neshama, spirituality, all of that is maintained. That inner sense of self, which bayis preserves, allows us to be matzliach in the outside world, keeping our vision, what we're trying to achieve, intact. This whole thing is deeply relevant to Hanukkah and our battle with the Yevanim. You see, the Yevanim represent, or really worship, beauty, image, glitz, everything which is attractive, i.e. chitzonius, superficiality, that which is outside. The chitzonius, the glitz, which really strangles and stuffs out any sense of pnimius, any sense of neshama, any sense of self. And this is why the Yevanim attacked the whole concept of bayis with particular fury and fierceness. For example, we have the record in the Gemara of the Gzeira, the decree called Tival Lahegman Tchila. Each Kala, the night of her wedding, was first violated by the Yevani general or prince. In so doing, through this violation, tampering with the Kedushas Habayis, the sanctity of the home, from its inception, from the inception of Jewish marriage, the Yevanim were undermining the bayis and the sanctity of bayis, which I think goes beyond the issue of arayos and marriage, but more broadly, the entire concept of bayis, of privacy, of sense of self. This Tival Lahegman Tchila, this decree to violate the young maiden, is merely one example. There are other expressions of this fierce attack on bayis. For example, the Yevanim breached the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. It seems to me the breaching of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash was an attempt to undermine the concept of an inner sanctum of Avoda, a Beis HaMikdash as an abayis, a private home where Hashem and Klal Yisrael bond together and come together. So whether it is the grand Beis HaMikdash or whether it is the individual bayis, the Jewish home, the Yevanim seek to undermine everything it represents. The entire Jewish concept of meaning, purpose, that which is most innate and inward. And we have a splendid fusion of these two. Both the Yevanim's attack on Jewish marriage and the Yevanim's attack on the Beis HaMikdash in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah each year. Because on one hand, the Ner Chanukah is clearly commemorating the re-inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, as the very word Chanukah reflects. We are lighting the menorah to commemorate the nisim of the original menorah. So on one hand, we are capturing the Beis HaMikdash and its avoda. But on the other hand, we are focused on the individual Jewish home, because it's a mitzvah of Nerush U'Beiso. It's a mitzvah of the family. It is not a mitzvah performed by individuals, but a mitzvah performed by each family. Strictly, halachically speaking, one menorah suffices per family unit. A family dwells together as one. One menorah suffices. It's not a mitzvah of individuals. It's a mitzvah of bias as in household. And it's also a mitzvah of bias as in physical house. The menorah is placed either inside or outside, immediately adjacent to the physical bias. And the mashmos, the implication from Tosis and various Rishonim, is that if somebody would chalila be homeless and not have a home, they actually would not be obligated in the mitzvah of menorah. So here we have the mitzvah of menorah is a mitzvah of bias, both in terms of bias the home and in terms of the family unit, and as a mitzvah performed by the family unit, and also mitzvah of bias as in a mitzvah performed in the house or adjacent to the house outside. This is the representation of the Jewish family in conjunction with the Beis HaMikdash. Everything menorah symbolizes. When we each light the menorah as a bias, we are really saying that each individual bias has a Beis HaMikdash-like sanctity. And we are celebrating in unison the triumph of Beis HaMikdash and the trial of the individual bias, both as batim, both as places of inner sanctums, which preserve themselves against the insidious Yavani attack to undermine them, to undermine the very concept of an inner world and meaning, to drown it out in the glitz and the image and everything which an external superficial world worships. And there are other expressions and manifestations of this theme of Chanukah as a yantif of bias. Let's appreciate, for example, the role of women on Chanukah. Women who are, of course, the guardians of bias, the very embodiments of everything a bias is, as the nurturers, as those who preserve an inner sense of self, not only personally, they themselves in their own sneis, but really in their role as nurturers, beso zoishto, who cultivate a sense of inner peace and tranquility, bias within all of us. Why do I say that women have particular connection to the Yontif of Chanukah? Because we know the Gemara teaches us that even though Chanukah and Menorah are mitzvahs, aseisha as man grama time-bound mitzvahs, women are obligated because afhin hayu ba'osa hanes, which according to some Rishonim means they had a primary role in the miracle of Chanukah. We know the story of Yehudas on Chanukah, the great heroine Yehudas. Well, she symbolizes the role of women on Chanukah, and hence women for all time are obligated in the mitzvahs of Chanukah, such as menorah, despite its time-bound mitzvah characteristic, mitzvahs eishes makroma. Well, more than simply a legalistic principle that here women are obligated because they had a role, there must be something more innate to all of this. Women and Chanukah is not a coincidence that it just happened to be Ma'aseh HaYikachai, Yehudas, a woman, played a primary role, and therefore women for all time observe this mitzvah. But rather, this yantif is very much a yantif about women, because it is a yantif of bias. And this becomes even more apparent when we delve one level deeper into the actual story of Yehudas within the greater epic of Chanukah. Because let's appreciate what happened. Yehudas was one of those maidens, one of those kalos, who the hegemon, the Greek official, sought to violate. And what did she do? She fed him cheeses and the like to make him drowsy, and then she killed him. She slayed him. Well, what is so remarkable about this story is that it is so reminiscently similar to a story in the Navi, the story in Sefer Shoftim of Yael. We know Yael in Sefer Shoftim was the heroine who slayed the enemy general Sisera. And how did she do it? She also fed him dairy products, as the Navi tells us. Fed Sisera chalav milk, made him drowsy, and killed him. And again, the pieces on the table are so similar between these two stories, Yehudas and Yael, respectively. Both of them are using wine, are using milk, I apologize, or cheese, against vain men. And on both stories, these are men who entered their inner sanctum, who seek to violate them, as evident from a deeper study of both respective stories. And they both use milk. Milk, 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 or cheese, 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 all over the place. In all of these stories involving heroic women. Why? It's again not just a coincidence, my shayi kachai. There's a symbolism to it. And the symbolism is because chalav milk, of course, is the symbol of maternity, of a mother. And everything a mother is as a nurturer. Think of your mother's milk and that first experience, that bonding experience between child and mother. She is the nurturer in the formative experience of nursing her baby and remains a nurturer in the child's life, his or her life, forevermore. Milk is the very expression of an Isha and an Isha in her role as basis of Isha. So both women who are fighting for the very concept of Jewish femininity, but more broadly, defending the bias from violation, be it in the Navi, the story of Yael, or in the story of Chanukah Yehudas, they express themselves through a cup of milk or a piece of cheese, chalav, the evocative symbol of Isha and bias. So here we have it. So many puzzle pieces of Chanukah fit right into place. Be it the menorah as a mitzvah of bias. Be it Chanukah as a story involving the breaching of Beis HaMikdash walls. Chanukah as a story of the Avonim seeking to undermine Jewish marriage. Chanukah as a mitzvah, menorah as a mitzvah performed every year upon the physical house or adjacent to the physical house. And finally, Chanukah as a yontif involving milk and cheese. And of course, we know there is a minhag to eat dairy food on Chanukah to commemorate the miracle of Yehudas. Well, this is not Stam, a cheesy, yes, pun fully intended, a cheesy zecher. Oh, there happened to be milk or cheese in the Chanukah story, so we use it too. But no, as with every Yiddish minhag, it is an expression of a deeper meaning. When we imbibe milk on Chanukah, we are affirming the sacred notion of Jewish femininity, the sacred ethos of bias, the entire concept which a mother is, a bias is, ultimately everything Chanukah is all about. The concept of an inner life, an apnemius. In Jewish life, meaning trumps everything. Beauty, externality, glitz, they have their place. But they are ultimately superficial. From time immemorial, we have refused to allow beauty to strangle meaning, guf and attractiveness to strangle neshama. Chitzonius will never snuff out pnimius, And that is what Hanukkah is all about.